Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Vineyard Community Church's 2016 Trans-Siberian Tribute of the Gospel.
Thank you. Every one of us has a story in life, some similar to the one you're about to hear. There's nothing worse than a holiday to remind some that life has no joy. So join me, will you, on the journey about a man who thought he had it all, when in reality, there was a void that could not be filled. An emptiness, a desperation, if you will, to go back to when he was a child. For at that time, life was simple and full of cheer. But sadly, he knew that could never happen. There's not a person in this room who hasn't struggled with a decision. And we all know some decisions bear more weight than others. Now, our friend in this story, he has a very, very important decision to make. You see, his decision will determine the destiny of his soul. The best part about what's going on is this: God is in heaven watching this entire story unfold. Not everyone knows this, but God loves people so much that he is willing to go to great lengths in order for us to get to know him. For this particular situation, God sends an angel as comfort for our friend.
Angel. find out the worth of everything that his children had done since that winter night, the birth of his son.
Understand? Turn it up, Christmas Jam!
We'll be right back.
As our friend is comforted by the angel, he begins to hear what many believe to be the greatest story ever to happen to mankind. It's the story of a Savior, a Redeemer. It's the story of our Creator and His love for His creation. You see, 2,000 years ago, God sent His Son to live among us. He was born of a virgin named Mary, and she called Him Jesus. Now the birth was foretold by the prophets many, many years ago. In fact, the prophet Isaiah called Him Emmanuel, meaning God is with us. Those who knew the scriptures had been waiting for this birth. Everyone, from shepherds to the religious, had heard of a king, God's son, who would someday come to earth. Even wise men from the east had been anticipating this very day, so much so that they traveled across distant lands bringing gifts to a little town called Bethlehem.
And he says, why?
heart, each asked a why. So they checked the book full of prophecy, and the one king said, "Why, it's plain to me. You see, this means that a king is born who'll save mankind on this blessed morn." On some old camels with some fancy tents, pulled the palace down, set the tree, and three kings rode into history. But they rode into history. It was long ago in a foreign land, when the Lord looked down, set to take.
Now, if I were to tell you that three wise men who were somewhat familiar with the scriptures brought gifts to the newborn Messiah, would you count that as a miracle of God? Because something even bigger than any of us could imagine happened the night our Savior's announcement was made. One of the most brilliant scenes in all of mankind's history was witnessed by the shepherds of a town called Bethlehem. The shepherds of all people. God dispatched a host of angels from heaven to proclaim the birth of the long-awaited Messiah to none other than the town shepherds. The Gospel of Luke chapter 2 says, "And suddenly there was a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men.'"
To Bethlehem and see him who's
Many people spend years in life wishing there could be a better way, hoping life could be easier. Have you ever heard the saying, the grass is always greener on the other side? Well, our friend in this story has lived his entire life up to this point with that very mindset. The grass may be greener, but it soon becomes the same environment, and it's a struggle a lot of people face over and over. Sometimes throughout a lifetime. Friends, life can be tough, and what we think is our security could possibly cost us eternal life with our Heavenly Father.
Thank you.
Many people, when coming to a crossroads in life, may turn to something spiritual for direction or even inspiration. There are many things in this world fighting for our attention, but there's only one thing that can offer eternal life in heaven, and that's found in God's Word. So, on a cold winter's night, close to Christmas, I might add, our friend decides to open the Bible he had always kept on his end table, you know, to look good when guests are over. This particular Bible had not been opened in years. It's funny how God works, isn't it? It turns out our friend begins reading in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 19. This certain passage is about a rich young man who asked Jesus what he needed to do to have eternal life in heaven. You see, this rich young man had kept all the commandments that Scripture says to keep. I'm sure he thought there wasn't anything else he needed to do to have eternal life. Jesus tells the man, sell everything you have, give the money to the poor, and follow me. Then you'll have treasure in heaven. Dear friends, one of the saddest verses in the Bible is Matthew 19:22, because it gives the young man's reaction to what Jesus told him. It says, when the young man heard what Jesus said, he went away sorrowful, for he had many possessions. And it is this very verse that created an inner turmoil within our friend, a struggle for his soul.
Thank you.
Have you ever had the feeling that if something didn't change, life wasn't going to go the way you had intended? Our friend has been struggling with the fact that there must be something more to life than just wealth and possessions. So much so that the wealth seems to be controlling, the kind of control that won't let go. The more our friend thinks about Jesus, the stronger the pull of his wealth seems to be. The greatest thing about our Father in heaven is this: he is relentless in his pursuit of us. Even in our darkest hour, God wants to be the light that changes our world. So he sends his messenger to our friend once again in the hopes that he will listen. I suspect God knows what the outcome will be.
while he had wandered this
Holidays can be full of emotion, can't they? They have a way of bringing people together or keeping some in isolation. They have a way of creating memories or resurfacing those memories we wish would fade away. And for some, like our friend in this story, a second chance at life is granted. Friends, I'll leave you with this. Jesus loves each of us in a way that we could never comprehend. He wants nothing but to experience life with us and to be the one to carry the weight of our burdens. When we make a choice to trust Him, we'll see just how much of a provider He can be for us. This Christmas season, won't you put your trust in Him?
Being granted me for now.
Christmas Day. Christmas Day.
Yeah, wow, wow. Thank you, wow. Man. Woo, let's bring everybody up on the stage here. Come on up, everybody up. Wow, 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 wow. Thank you, so much work. Wow, let's get everybody up on the stage. Let's get the angels back up here if they're still, they're gone, all right, yeah. They're the best part. Aaron Angel and the wise man, all right, come on, Paul, come on. Yeah. Woo-hoo. Nice, nice. You all memorized your lines so well. It's so awesome, man. So, yeah, I just want to go through some thanks here. First of all, Chip Richardson, this has been his vision. So, Chip, good job. He's up there. Wow. And Kim, thank you. Chip's wife, Kim, doing all the musical arrangements. Wow. Yeah. Woo! Wow. And what do you say about these musicians? I mean, yeah, Jimmy, wow. 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 And you know what? And their spouses. The spouses gets a special hand for listening to this for 5 months. They've been practicing 5 months. Wow. And our singers right here, thank you. Wow, beautiful, beautiful. Paul, you had all your lines memorized. That was so good, man. You are awesome. And Paul did our backdrop here. He did all the backdrop here. Nice job. And we have to call Aaron Angel Aaron now. Where's our stage production team? Was it just one person or was it an entire team? Where's Katie? Katie's our stage production. We've got our three... Here, okay, Katie, yeah, running through, moving everything around. Our spectacular three wise men, Mike, Bob, Dave, yeah, nice. And now we've got Thomas and Alethea for Joseph and Mary. You guys are awesome. He's into his part, man, woo! And the party team, Josh for reading, thank you, and all... Pass it on to all the angels and the shepherds. Wow, I hope I didn't forget anybody. Everybody else, thank you so much. What do we got here? Oh, Adam with the lights. Yeah, where's Adam? He's back here. Adam doing all our lights for us. Yeah, man, where you at, Adam? Thank you. Rob's back there. All right, Rob, thank you. Man, so much fun, so much fun. Thank you, all of you. You guys really did a great job. It was really a lot of fun, and what a great story. Amen. Amen. Thank you. You can all be seated. I just want to take a minute and just share a few thoughts with you, and then we'll wrap it up. But wow, what a great show. Man, that is some good music. I just get it in my head, and I just hear it over and over and over and over. My kids got so tired of listening to that, but I love that music. That is just so good. But anyway, the whole story here is about a journey, you know, the young man on a journey. And I think it's pretty fair to say we all would agree your life's a journey. Amen. You're on a journey. But it's a journey with a destination. Should be going someplace. And I think sometimes people are just not aware of that. And I would say if you're journeying without a destination, you're probably not on a journey. Maybe you're just wandering. You're walking around. Maybe the question we need to be asking ourselves every now and then, do you know where you're going? Do you know your destination? Or as Mike sang and as we saw with the young man, have you found your way? You know, in the story, the young man found his way. In the Bible story that they were referring to, that young man didn't find his way. The shepherds found their way. The wise men found their way. What about you? Have you found your way? I think it's fair to say that we have something born inside of us that makes us want to search. We're born to be searchers. There's something inside that drives us to search and to seek out. And I think the crazy thing about that is most people don't even know what they're searching after. They just have this drive. They don't know what their destination is. But Paul, the Apostle Paul, made mention of this about the journey and the destination in a passage of a sermon that he was preaching in the book of Acts.
chapter 17, he said, so that they should seek the Lord in the hope that they might grope and find him, though he's not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. Paul was saying that God has all of us on a journey. We're on a journey and we're searching. We're searching for God, and he's the destination. God is the destination. I'm sure you've heard this reference before, but it's a good analogy. It's the reference that each of us have this God-shaped hole in our hearts. And because we have this God-shaped hole, we search to try and find something bigger than ourselves, something transcendent, something other than ourselves. There's a hunger there that we're looking for. And the writer of the book of Ecclesiastes said that God has placed eternity into the heart of every man. God placed eternity into your heart. That means when he created us, he put life inside of us. But the Greek word for that word life is the word zoe, zoe life, Z-O-E. And that word means eternal life. We were given eternal life. And because God placed eternity into our hearts, we hunger for something eternal. And the sad thing is, many people try to fill that hunger with all kinds of other stuff. We fill it with power and possessions. We try to fill it with promotions or prestige. And it just doesn't work. And you're back looking again. Some people try to fill that hunger with relationships, and they may work for a while, but after a while you realize that's not really, it's not enough. And of course, some people search after drugs and alcohol, and we know the path that leads. It's sad when you realize people are looking for the meaning of life in all the wrong places. Try to find meaning in their careers or meaning, you know, their identity and their business or their family and or their friends or in some sports or some achievement. But if you're pursuing something eternal, you're pursuing something that isn't eternal to meet an eternal need, it doesn't work. You're still left hungry. And I believe this is the great lie throughout all the ages. And that is the lie that sin offers to satisfy your soul. Because there's this hunger and we're looking for something, and sin says, I'll satisfy your soul. And in fact, it never satisfies your soul. It leaves us hungry and sometimes in worse condition than when we first started. I'm sure some of you, or if not most of you, are familiar with the story of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, an old story from way back in the early 1900s. Dr. Jekyll wanted to see if he could find an outlet for his dark side, for his evil side. He thought that if he found this outlet, that maybe he wouldn't be so riddled with temptation. He thought that if you gave into the temptation, it might get rid of it, you know, get it over with. It's sort of like sometimes we buy into that lie. We think if we just scratch that itch, maybe it'll go away. But it doesn't. As a matter of fact, our lives turn out being a lot like Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, because when he first started taking that potion and switching over to the evil Mr. Hyde, at first he was weak and not very powerful and influential, but the more he took it and the more he allowed that evil person to live and rise up inside of him, the more dominant he became, until he was the dominant character. Destroyed him. And we need to be careful that we don't buy into the lie that pursuing after things might be like a pressure relief valve. You know, it allows us to get that sin taken care of and we go on with it. It doesn't. If anything, it captures us and destroys us. Yes, you know, there is pleasure in pursuing other things. You find some sense of temporary satisfaction, but in the end, it's empty. You look back and you wonder, how did I miss it? The story of King Solomon in the Old Testament is a perfect example of that. King Solomon had it all. He had wealth. He had fame. He had respect. He was called the wisest man that ever lived. He was the king of a nation. And he pursued everything to try and find some sense of satisfaction. And in the end, toward the end of his life, he began to realize it was vanity. He wrote the book called Ecclesiastes to tell us pursuing anything else is vanity. He came up with a summary at the end of the book of Ecclesiastes. And the summary was, we need to fear God, keep his commands. For this is the whole duty of God, of man. Fear God and keep his commands. Now, when the Bible talks about fearing God, it doesn't mean like fear, be afraid of. When the Bible talks about fearing God, it means to reverence him, to have a healthy respect, to honor him. The only way we'll ever scratch that itch, fill that hole, feed the hunger, is if we find that contact with an eternal God. He's not a God that's discovered by studying philosophy. He's not a God that you discover by religion. He's a God that is encountered, embraced. He's a God that wants us to experience his presence. And as we fill our soul with his eternal presence, we find the meaning of life. We find the purpose and the plan of God. Life's a journey. We're all on it. But some of you may be wandering today. Some of you may know your destiny, but maybe you've wandered off from it. But I tell you, I can't give answers for everything in life. You know, people ask sometimes really difficult questions. Why did this happen? Why did that happen? I don't know. And I've learned to be okay with that. But I can tell you this. I do know something. I know that hunger you have in your soul, that craving for something more, it can only be met by the presence of God's Holy Spirit. Let's close in prayer. Father, I thank you that you have created us by planting eternity into our souls. And you've set us on a journey. And the destination is you. You call us to encounter you, to embrace you. The hunger we have, God, can only be met when we open our hearts up to you. God, I pray this morning for every person in this room, God. You've set us on the journey. Holy Spirit, I just welcome your presence right now. God, if there's people in this room that may have wandered and or may just have never really understood the purpose and the destination of their life, God. But today, Holy Spirit, knock at the door of their heart. Awaken them to that reality before it's too late. Before they wander and waste their lives, God. This morning, you brought each of us here, Holy Spirit. And I believe you're touching hearts right now, correcting some direction, clarifying some vision. Maybe some things have gotten in the way, but this morning, God, clear our visions. Let's just take a moment as we're praying here. I can't think of a better time than to make a decision to make a change in your life. And I just wonder if there's some of you sitting here this morning that God's tugging at the door of your heart. God's offering to meet that need, that hunger, to scratch that itch that you've had and awaken you to eternal life. Or maybe it's something you knew and you've kind of wandered from it. But this morning, I just want to take a minute and I'm going to ask you, if you're feeling that tug at your heart, if you'll just let us know and by raising your hand, and we'll just pray for you, because I believe the Holy Spirit moving here this morning. We've had great music and great story, but folks, it's more than that. It's way more than that. It's your time. It's your time to encounter God. It's your time to make the decision today. I'm going to get on the right path. Get back on the right path. Christmas is going to have real meaning for me. God sending his son to guide me on my journey. Let's just take a minute here. Holy Spirit, just welcome your presence. Just move among us. Tug at hearts. Knock at the door. Open people's eyes right now. Do that work that only you can do. So just as we're praying right now, if you're feeling that tug at your heart, would you just do me a favor? Just raise your hand. Say, Pastor Dave, I want to make a correction in my life. I want to get right. I want to make a decision this morning. Just hold your hand up. We're going to pray for you right where you're sitting. Just come, Holy Spirit. Just welcome your presence. Feeling that tug at your heart this morning. Decision only you can make. It's not about mom and dad, brother or sister. It's about you. Anybody this morning feeling that tug at their heart? Just hold your hand up. I'm going to pray for you right where you're at. Yep, there's a hand right here. Good for you, sister. Good for you. Hold it up. Come on. Come on. God's brought you here this morning. It's a chance to change your life. Anybody else? Just hold your hand up. We're going to pray for you right where you're at. All the way back there. I see it. All right, good. Hold the hand up. Come on. Come on, man. This is your time. It's time you make the decision. I'm going to change. I'm going to turn. Anybody else? The hand all the way back there. The hand right up here. I'm going to pray in just a minute. Anybody else? All right. Here by this lady right here in the middle here, if you just stand with her, just put your hand on her shoulder right back here, the young guy that raised his hand all the way back there right in front of you, Jennifer, yeah, right there. So we're going to just pray a real simple prayer, and I just want all of us to pray together. We're going to just pray and ask God to come and fill these people and give them that change and that direction in their life. So Father, I pray right now, I just pray, Holy Spirit, let's just, Jesus, let's all say it together, Jesus, please come into my life right now. Please forgive me of all my sins. Make me a new person. Give me the direction for my life. Cleanse me. And this morning, I dedicate my life to you. It's a simple prayer in the name of Jesus right now, Father. Just fill this lady right now in the name of Jesus. All the way in the back here. Feel this young man. It's come, Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Welcome. Good for you. Good for you back there. Good for you. Let's all stand. We take our offering if our ushers want to come forward. Father, we thank you for this time. We get to honor you with our tithes and our offerings. We pray your blessing on it. God, we ask that you bless those of us that give during the week through other methods, electronic means. God, we just we give because we know you are the provider. We ask that you help us to use this money to continue to advance your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.
Feliz Navidad, Feliz Navidad, Feliz Navidad, próspero año y felicidad. Feliz Navidad, Feliz Navidad, Feliz Navidad, próspero año y felicidad. Feliz Navidad. Feliz Navidad. Feliz Navidad. Prospero año y felicidad. Feliz Navidad. Feliz Navidad. Feliz Navidad. Prospero año y felicidad.
Our prayer team up front here as we get ready to leave, and we're going to dismiss you in just a minute here, but if you need some prayer this morning, facing some challenges, something you'd like some prayer for, we'd love to pray for you at the end of the service. The young lady that raised her hand, the young man that raised his hand, if you'd like, we've got a gift package. It's got some stuff we'd just like to go over with you. So let me just close in prayer. Again, if you need some prayer, we're welcome to come up and get some. So Father, I just thank you for bringing us together here today. God, I pray as we move into the final week of our Christmas celebration that we would be the light wherever we go, God, and that we would be aware of the significance of the fact that you sent your Son to this earth to redeem mankind. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You're all dismissed.